This is a CKTZ News update. Prior to this school year, Cortez Island students had to either be homeschooled or leave the island after grade 9 to complete their high school education. A group of island parents had a dream to create a learning opportunity where students could remain on the island. They formed the Cortez Island Academy, a fully accredited school, in partnership with BC School District 72. They're a few weeks into their debut semester. Administrator Amanda O'Fox Gillespie, who also hosts Folk U on CKTZ Radio, says she has a number of roles with the Academy. She describes those, provides a progress report, and outlines what makes this learning opportunity unique for both students and the Cortez Island community.
I represent the role of the Cortez Island Academy Society, which is actually right now just a program of the Cortez Island Community Foundation, and I'm the executive director of the Community Foundation. And on top of that, I also am running, I'm one of two facilitators that are helping to lead a course called Creative Tools for Truth Telling, which is primarily a podcasting course that'll get the students their English credit for the year.
But you're multifaceted.
I'm multifaceted.
And you're hosting some of the students at the Academy this year.
And I'm a host parent. But the big thing is that I would say I've helped guide the Academy into existence.
Okay. What do you feel makes the Cortez Island Academy like a unique learning opportunity for students?
Interestingly enough, the Cortez Island Academy, which right now is a semester-long experiential place-based high school program, and which gets actual high school credit through our partnership with the Campbell River SD72 School District. It doesn't seem like it should be that incredibly unique, but it is. We found almost no examples of something quite like the Academy. And one of the things that is really unique about the Cortez Island Academy is that we are actually using as the primary facilitators or knowledge sharers with the students, local people who are passionate and well-trained in their areas of expertise. So those might be local scientists, lifelong naturalists, the outdoor leaders and owners of a kayak and outdoor adventure company, trained journalists, people who work in film, etc. So it's having people being able to share the thing that they've spent their life passionate about learning about with students who are wanting to learn that thing. And that's all happening then under the guidance of a actual certified district teacher so that it can earn high school credit. And this is happening through the public school system. That doesn't seem like it should be so unusual, but it almost never happens.
The Cortez Island Academy was a dream. Now you're in your first semester. It's a reality. How does that feel?
For about one day, it just felt like complete bliss. And particularly when the students started showing up. And then just like all other dreams, you're like, oh, actually, you have to keep working. And like life goes on. There's like a lot of stuff that is involved with the manifesting of this dream that I, coming from not a background with academics in that way, and I've never been an administrator of a school or done anything like that before. So I was probably lacked imagination with how much effort and work goes into this kind of thing. But every time I start to be like, oh, this is really difficult and there's a lot of moving parts and I couldn't have begun to imagine how dreadful parts are in things like this, the contracts, the insurance, the legal things, like those are dreadful. And what's amazing is seeing 20 students on Cortez vibrating with the information, the knowledge, the community, the beauty, the wonder of this natural environment. And we've had students come from as far away as Germany and beyond the local students as nearby as Sonora, which is an even more remote underserved community. Most of our students are coming from other rural, not all of them, but the vast majority. And seeing those kids have the experience of this kind of learning, of being in this place and being with each other, because all rural teenagers suffer from a kind of isolation and loneliness that is common to them. And so watching them develop relationships and relationships through knowledge and place, it's really neat.
Now, you've intimated this, but if you could go a little further, perhaps, what do you feel the Cortez Island Academy, as an option for an educational experience, has to teach other facilities that teach teenagers, be they either urban or rural?
There's a lot to be learned from the small, and also from things that are a little bit messy. And I think when you live in rural remote communities, you start to learn that, like how much you have to know to survive on a small island, right? Like you have to become an expert in so many different things, from how to cut firewood to how to make your own entertainment to maybe hosting a radio show or being a journalist, because there's nobody else to do it. So if you want to get it done, you have to figure it out.
Not to mention just human relations. I used to like to say when I moved here from Vancouver over 3 decades ago that there's no skeletons in the closet. You cannot compartmentalize life. They're all walking out there in front of you.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that maybe is the most important thing about education. And that's what educators that I really treasure have said to me, as a non-educator who's like messing in their space. They say education is primarily about relationships, and living well in small community and trying to do anything is primarily about relationships. And I think if it's possible to do something like that way out here with really shocking little amount of resources compared to larger places, then we can do it anywhere. And what we're seeing is that already just after 2 weeks, students are saying things like their lives are changed. They've never had such incredible experiences. They've never made such close friends. They've never learned so much. Like, we haven't even started the hard academic parts. Like, we're 2 weeks in. And so, yes, everybody's still in their honeymoon phase. And also, it's speaking to something which I think is fundamental to the potential in education, which is about relationships. But also, what is, like, fundamentally, what are we trying to do? We're trying to light up young people so that they want to go on to be engaged members of communities, realizing the potential that they see in the future. Like, clearly, we're failing to do that in some way in traditional schools, and it doesn't have to be that way. So at its essence, what are we doing is we're taking people who are jazzed about what they do in the world, and we're pairing them up with young people who are jazzed to learn about that, and we're just making it work in an amazing remote location who is desperately in need of something. So that doesn't seem like it should be that hard.
Okay. Just down to logistics, describe the current semester's curriculum and what will follow for the balance of the year.
Okay, so it is only a semester program, and this semester is cut up into these little blocks, and each block is like 4.5 to 5 weeks long. So there's 4 of these modules or blocks that are happening that make up this semester. And each one of these blocks is a deep dive into a particular experiential subject.
Because you spend all of those 3 or 4 weeks on the one subject.
Yes. And the subject, like, loosely defined in some ways, because we have these things like this first block, which they're doing kayaking and outdoor education and leadership. And so this first 5 weeks or so, it's been about them getting to know each other, them practicing different leadership skills, and then learning how to kayak, how to be out in the water, how to have a camping trip, how to figure out what kind of food you need, how to figure out what kind of gear, getting that gear, doing it, and experiencing all that together, while they're also learning about what plants grow here, what are edible, what other species are here, navigating the ocean. What are you seeing there? What is that? Why is it important? Why does it matter to them? So you'll have to talk to the facilitators of that course a little bit more to learn about that. But it's been a time to have such an experiential outdoor block, because it's also been nice weather, a good opportunity for the kids then to be going camping and learning these other skills and creating the relationships that will then carry them through.
What are the other three blocks consist of?
So then the next block is around marine ecology, and in particular looking at oceans and the interface with land and communities. That will, in that block, we've got a number of really exciting things going on, especially this partnership with Hakai Institute, which is on Quadra, and they're bringing their scientists and naturalists along with, we'll have some naturalists from Foci and some scientists from Foci to join that facilitator team to learn more about the science that we can and the lenses by which to look at this marine environment here. So it's really a lot about learning to be ocean literate from some of the most amazing scientists doing this really unique work, which is like looking specifically at this unique climate and area and what's happening here and teaching the kids about that. And also exciting in that time is that we have some really state of the art things happening here around sustainable aquaculture and seaweed production. And one of the facilitators on that team is actually, I would say, at the cutting edge of some of the stuff around kelp growth and what is happening on this island and with some of the different indigenous groups who are doing kelp production. So that will be really interesting and very cutting edge.
And number three?
Yeah, and number three is called Creative Tools for Truth Telling. And that block is being done in partnership with our very own CKTZ, Cortez Community Radio. And I get to be, along with Morgan Tang, the primary facilitators. And we're doing a couple things in this block. We're teaching the students the hard skills necessary for podcasting. So they'll each produce a couple podcasts. They'll be part of a team that does a longer, more in-depth pod, and they'll also do a shorter kind of skill building podcast during that session. But we're also examining this idea of what we consider truth and what is journalism worthy these days, so that we're re-examining some of the ideas of what has gotten elevated and how we share the stories that shape our lives. And we have some really beautiful partners coming in to share some of their knowledge around that. So including some indigenous journalists who will be sharing, beginning to get us thinking a little bit deeper about what would it mean if we were really to decolonize the ideas of journalism. So I am looking forward to learning more about that with the students and really shaking up some of our preconceptions around what journalism is and who gets to share truth these days, and hope, and they get to do part of it.
So the final block?
That is being led by our very own nonprofit film studies organization called Real Youth. And the students during that section will learn more of the process of storytelling, and they will each be involved then in making three different kinds of films that they will produce, and then will culminate in a film festival that the whole island will be invited to at the very end of January. So it'll be an opportunity for everyone to come and see who these students are and get to see some of those films. Speaking of which, they'll also, the whole community and everybody far and wide will get to listen to some of the podcasts about the students' experiences and what the students have been learning before that as well, because they will be aired through Cortez Radio.
Final question. What has been the biggest challenge and what is your greatest satisfaction?
Ooh, the biggest challenge and greatest satisfaction. It's hard. There's been, I think the biggest challenge has been the kind of reality of the amount of work necessary to pull something like this off for the first time. And which is also, thank goodness, because there's no way I would have taken this on if I had realized even a fraction of how much money we would have to raise, what it would feel like to be involved in negotiating a contract with a whole school district and where all these lives are on the line. And, you know, like the heaviness of being like, oh, this is really big. There's a lot of bureaucracy that also has to be navigated, and real human beings who are putting some amount of faith, not some amount, it's like a huge hope and dream for many people that this could happen, that it is happening. And there's a lot of also work that comes along with not wanting to let that hope and dream and potential down. So yeah,
be overcome by detail and...
Yeah, and that's not my favorite thing. I don't really like to do all that detail work and figuring out how to get someone else roped in who wants to do it. I don't know. I have to figure that one out still.
Okay, so finally, what's giving you the most satisfaction?
It's just amazing. Oh, we have 20 kids here and all these amazing facilitators and this incredible, beautiful teacher from the school district all here doing it. It's just happening and seeing what it means, like the liveliness that comes to a little community like this when there is that energy of new learning and new involvement. It is huge. I feel like people are starting, like I'm getting emails where people are like, I saw teenagers in the co-op today. Oh my gosh. Or I heard people talking about the school program. Like they're feeling it already, even though it's so small. We're a small island and it just takes a little drop of that kind of hope and energy here to start making changes.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.